Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 6, Episode 6, titled Blood of My Blood. We just watched it. It's an instant take. What'd you think?
Okay, so that's how you ride a dragon, right? None of this rubber Drogon bullshit, none of this shitty compositing, none of this just, oh, I gotta get around this. No, it's not so comfortable. She just... off screen,
they didn't show it.
Off screen, but I like to think that she did like a Xenia, and just did like a flip quadruple land. Gainer, land right on there. Said Drogon, you're my bitch now, and rode off to her Khalasar.
Yeah,
but it was pretty awesome.
It was, and I don't know. I could see all the pieces falling into place as that scene was happening.
Sure,
it almost feels a little rote. Like they have to do it at this point.
It's like
So it didn't overwhelm me with awesomeness, but it was still pretty cool to see.
It was still pretty cool, and it did feel a little stagey, like almost like the another one of the Shakespearean Westerosi plays where it's like, I'm going to go off stage left, and here's my dragon, like, you know?
Right, yeah.
Whatever.
It was still cool.
And
it's a way to get her back to Meereen quickly and have her army meet up kind of at the same time that the ships get there, and we can all
multiple battles being joined all over the map, and it's pretty cool.
You're right. The other scene that I really absolutely love is when Jaime comes marching in with his army. Well, okay, it's Mace's army, right? But, you know, he's kind of leading the pack here.
Is it Mace's army, or do they just play along?
That's a fair question.
Oh, Jesus, this guy again.
I will say he had the more flowery and feathery of the helmets
that's
there.
What I said.
So
sure.
Probably the commander, I guess.
Yeah.
But then that scene was just totally shit on with Tommen. Oh, my God, Tommen.
And I thought it's funny how they, speaking of Mace and how ineffectual he is, I thought it's interesting how he had one of his men leading the horse that he was sitting on.
Did he?
Yes.
He can't even ride a horse?
I don't think so.
Has he been thrown before? Is that?
I think that's what we're supposed to understand, that he is so inept and so lacking any kind of martial skill that he has a man lead his horse in front of him.
That's
like,
sad.
Like you're a 7-year-old Boy Scout on your and you got the scout mat, you know.
Right. Like you're Samwell Tarly.
Samwell, I think, could ride a horse, probably.
At this point, yeah.
He can kill a Thin and a White Walker, that's for sure.
Right.
So do we want to talk about that? Or let's
stick with Jaime and Tommen, because like...
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move. House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you. In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead, unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I don't know what is going on with Margaery.
Thank you, because I have no fucking clue either.
My hope is that she's like, you know what? Fuck this. The adults have had their... I'm making my own play.
Yeah.
I have been pawned off on 3 different ineffectual dudes, and I am going to never be put in this position again, so I'm going to do my own thing. Because otherwise,
what is her thing?
They both make a complete, sincere... Mm. And also the look on her face when Mace and Jaime rode up. I couldn't tell if it was like, oh, God, they're screwing it up, or, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to get out of this, or oh, no, I need to do my shame walk because I love God.
Right.
The gods, I should say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, but it was frustrating because I thought we are going to put an end to this one way or another. And then when the High Sparrow balked, I'm like, oh, well, he's done the math and he can see, you know, bathrobes and hammers versus plate steel and, you know, castle forge swords. And he's clearly come to the right answer. But then he, I don't know, the...
Yeah, and Elena seems defeated.
How did the Lord Commander not know that the king was sallying forth? Like that there's a
That's
little
a
bit
good
of
question.
There's
yeah.
a little bit of loosey goosey stuff here. Mm-hmm. Like every one of those men should have reported to. And why would Tommen suspect that Jaime is going to do something crazy? Do you think
I don't know.
There's someone behind the scenes besides the High Sparrow manipulating things? Because this could be a plot hole, or it could be some signs of some subtle or not so subtle manipulation.
I feel like it's just the Sparrows. Like, I don't think there's any force inside King's Landing that's working against them. Unless it's...
Qyburn.
Yeah, Qyburn. I don't know. He seems to be doing Cersei's bidding.
Yeah, but he's also doing...
What about the Maester?
Sure. Is Pycelle smart enough to do something that... Or bold enough? Does he have the balls to essentially go behind everyone's back?
He did try to speak with Tommen alone.
Well, it's interesting that Tommen was so, I guess, because the other thing is like this extreme speed with which we need to get Jaime out of the city as Lord Commander of the, I thought that was a nice bit of symbolism. Like I wish Selmy Barristan was still alive to see that Jaime got the same indignity that he was suffered. And Jaime's a lot less badass in his acceptance of the situation.
Right.
But because he couldn't cut them down like so much cake or butter or whatever the hell he said.
No.
But it does seem that's the reason I think there might be some political intrigue. Because on the face of it, you got to get Jaime out of there because he defied the faith.
Right.
And you got to get probably Mace out there for the same reason. But on the other hand, it just seemed like it's super fast. And if there is some kind of skullduggery, and I mean, there is skullduggery. I just don't know. Is it extraordinary skullduggery?
Right.
It?
And who, if there's, you know, third outside of the skullduggery we know is going on with the High Sparrow. Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, Jaime's now off to, you know, he passionately kisses Cersei, which is real gross. And then he heads off to... the Riverlands,
yeah,
to lead an army, I guess, to
pacify the Blackfish,
fuck up the Blackfish, yeah.
At the same time, it seems like Freys are sallying forth to pacify, well, to threaten the Blackfish,
right? I wonder what happens there. That's interesting.
So it's interesting because a lot of book readers were thinking that Jaime going down to Dorne was going to be the substitute for his ride through the Riverlands.
So he does this in the books.
He does this in the books, and I'm not going to, you know, go into what's going on, obviously, but. I'm kind of interested and surprised that they remixed him down into Dorne, and now they're going to just, it seems like, maybe play a straightforward him going and treating with the Blackfish. And they've changed the details and all that, and who knows what else they're going to change. But I'm super surprised that some of these plots are kind of zombieing and resurrecting back that I thought that we'd been done with.
Yeah, if you want to talk about another plot that's... sprouted some legs. I don't know, some really cold hands.
It's a bit Benjen Stark.
Benjen's back.
In fact, I was like, with 15 minutes ago, I was talking to my girlfriend. It's like, I can just call him Benjen, right? Because we hadn't seen like his full reveal.
Right,
like, anyone can tell that's Benjen. Like, you hear his voice. Like, if I don't say it on Instant Cast, within the next day, it'll be common knowledge. And then, thank God, they dispensed with the mystery because I'm like, they'd been so... Because I'm like, ah.
Yeah, they just revealed
it. It's kind of a spoiler, but you can recognize the dude. Like,
right, yeah.
So they just got it over with. He's got a kind of fucked up face. I think they implied that he was dead and they were going to White Walker him, and the children shoved the obsidian...
And saved him, yeah.
...into his heart. So I guess that's the cure and the poison...
I guess so, yeah. Who knows what powers that has, but...
It's the poison antidote, I should say.
Yeah. So it stopped his progression, and now he's, like, in some twilight between White Walker and human, like...
I don't know, because we probably should hold off much more speculation about that for the spoiler section.
You know too much.
Okay. Well, and that's the thing, like, Although I gotta say that just having this guy show up in his Bingen and he's been hiding in the weeds for the third eyed, God damn it, again, there it goes again, the three eyed Raven to beck and call, mm-hmm. and Bran is now the three eyed Raven. It's, I don't know, like I the people suggesting the Bingen's here, Bingen's there, Bingen's alive. I think I went on record like a week or two ago saying no, that's never gonna happen. Like, he's just the MacGuffin.
Whoops, you did. I think it was just this last week,
he's
actually.
Just a story engine that puts things into, but no, fuck me, I'm wrong again.
Right.
Wrong about the King's Moot.
Let's talk about Gendry.
sure. He's gonna, I've been making fun of the people saying he's gonna come back on the champion rowing team.
Yep.
But no, you heard it here first. Gendry is sitting athwart the Iron Throne before this series is over.
Gendry confirmed. Let's talk about... what else happened this episode? Sam and Gilly. That was a major scene.
Got a frosty reception. And I...
ooh, the frostiest.
So this guy that plays the senior Tarly, I've recognized him. He was in Downton Abbey the last few seasons, playing the imperious, disapproving father of some boy. I think he was, his deal was that he was a Jew.
Okay.
And that he didn't like his son to fraternize with the English women. Like, he wanted to keep, like, his Jewishness of, I don't know.
Right.
I watch Downton Abbey like I watch a soap opera. I just don't go that deep into it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he's essentially playing the same super cold and insensitive and imperious kind of douchebag. And it's like he's, I guess that's his thing now.
Okay. It works.
Like he plays one douchey father, and now he's going to play just douchey fathers from here to the grave. But boy, pretty... Did you think that Sam was going to snap and, like, do something with a spine? Because, like, he came at it pretty high on poor Gilly.
No, I thought Gilly was going to stand up for him.
She kind of did.
And she did, yeah, but which got her slipped in trouble. Up, too. Yeah. I thought that was just going to be the scene, is Gilly standing up for Sam like she always does,
mm-hmm.
When he can't stand up for himself. But, yeah, it turned into something much more, which was, oh, no, you're a wildling, and I hate wildlings.
Yeah.
For 500 years.
I'll let you serve
wildlings.
As my scullery maid, and I'll raise the bastard, and I'll make sure he hears the word bastard 5 times a day.
Right. Right. And I love Sam's solution to it. I'm
going to
take my wife and my child and your sword, and I'm leaving.
When he bid her adieu and shut the door, I'm like, you're not even going to spend the last night with her? What the hell? What has happened to you, man? And then the doors burst open, and he's like, nope, I'm taking you, taking the kid. Oh, yeah, I'm taking Heartsbane. Heartsbane, I'm taking it all. Like, and also, I do think his dad's going to come after him. Maybe his younger brother, and what the hell is he going to do? Did he go consult the scrolls and like, oh, it seems like as soon as you go to the Citadel that you are protected from everyone and everything and they can never touch you and under pain of something.
A lot of people hiding behind like very flimsy defenses.
Well,
like the high septum, the...
Yeah, septum. Yeah. Septum, I think, is something your nose.
Thing, yeah. I learned that a while back.
Sure. He's going to get it pierced this season, I think. Just as a youth outreach thing, you know, he wants to be cool. He's losing the younger urchins of King's Landing.
Yeah.
And he wants to be cool.
But he's
going to
get pierced up here because he's the high septum.
Oh, right. It would be more of a bridge than a septum. Guest rights didn't work so well for Rob.
No.
Stark. I wonder what he's got up his sleeves. Up his dingy black
big
maesters.
Fat arms, apparently, according to his dad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm glad he did it, though, because that didn't seem like a good place for Gilly to stay.
No.
And...
that's why I'm like, I mean, his mother is a delight, and his sister is lovely, but I don't see how it would be anything but hell.
Yeah.
You know, with maybe an angel or two on your side, but still hell for her and that baby.
Yeah.
But and I don't know.
It's going to cause him problems. I mean, he said, he can't really take her to Old Town. He can't.
But that's the thing. It kind of feels like we got put on a treadmill there or we went in a full 360 because he outlined clearly all the problems, why she couldn't stay. Told her why staying at his house is the way to go. And now, like, fuck all that. And also, I'm taking my dad's prize sword.
Right. So you think he's going to try and find another place for her to stay other than Old Town?
I really don't know. Like,
I don't either, but...
Yeah, I have no idea where this confidence is. And, or maybe he's just like, you know what? Maybe I'll... do you think he's going to refuse to go to the Citadel for a bit until he gets this?
Nah.
The other ones that were mentioned prominently are the Brotherhood Without Banners. Do you think that maybe she'll shack up with them? That seems an unsafe place for a baby, but...
It certainly does.
They'd probably treat her a damn sight better than House Tarly.
I don't know. I don't know. They're roaming around, though. It's nice to know.
Right. Rallying the common folk.
Yeah.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
The other person who is on the run this episode, holy shit, Arya.
Mm.
Arya, we knew you were going to break eventually. We knew you couldn't hack it as a faceless man. It was just a matter of time, and you've proven yourself.
Faceless person, please. This is the...
Well, that's what they call themselves.
This is the year 300, or 299. What's interesting about this is they made it so abundantly clear how overmatched she is against the Waif last episode.
Right.
They took great pains to show how, even unarmed, this Waif can just hand Arya her ass anytime she chooses.
And that's who Jaqen sends after her.
And she's like... this is personal. I've been wanting to do this. Please let... And I don't know how she gets out of it. Because I don't think Needle bestows upon her some kind of superpower.
No.
The Waif is not a White Walker. That's not Valyrian Steel.
Definitely not.
Like he's,
and she can't use faces, but Waif Watch begins
turns
right
it,
now.
Here it is. The Waif is allergic to shellfish.
Oh, God.
Oysters, clams, and cockles. You heard it here first. That's yep. It's going down.
They taught her everything she needed to survive. Little did they know. No, Waif Watch has begun, right? Like, every face you see in a crowd, it's now potentially Waif.
Which, another...
Lurking around Arya, waiting for the kill.
Another cool little, ooh, we're getting more Beloren backstory. Jaqen flacking that guy's, or flacking, flaying that guy's face off.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of knew that was going to happen, but it's still kind of cool to see. And there wasn't any kind of, like, you know, pentagrams.
That was the oysters, clams, and cockles guy, right?
I don't know, honestly.
He looked like an older bald guy.
You know how many older bald guys are in this show?
I know, that's fair.
You know, it could have been Varys.
I thought it would be a nice touch if he was like, we finally collected on this thing.
Arya messed up
at the same time she messed up another.
That would be sweet. But maybe easily verifiable or falsifiable. Yes. And it would be nice. It would also kind of imply, I guess, from a lore standpoint, that maybe it takes a while to prepare the body for this process.
Uh-huh.
That the washing and all that's just like phase one, and then they gotta age and cure like a fine cut of meat,
like a prosciutto.
Yeah, sure. And then when it's ready to go, you peel it off, like so much prosciutto.
I don't know, man. Waif Watch is a thing now.
It is.
Hashtag Waif Watch. We gotta figure out, like, every episode, watch the frames. Rewind.
Oh, look, another merch idea. We're going to have a watch with the picture of the waif on it. And then it's going to be like those 3D effects. As you tilt it around, it changes to Jacken. And then
to yourself, it's a mirror when you,
right.
When you hold it up.
That's the deluxe edition.
You're right.
Waif Watch begins. And that's a scary thing because she could be anybody. And also, Arya can't beat her on her best day, even if she knew she was coming. So, do you think... So, the other thing is, they showed Arya. Is she still in the House of Black and White, or is she fucked off?
She's gone. She grabbed Needle and she ran.
They show her in utter blackness. Do you think that her being blinded for a time, is that something they do to all recruits, or maybe recruits only fail, and will that maybe give her an advantage over the waif?
It could.
And like, if she sets up this like kind of Batman versus Bane fight and she's Bane,
yeah,
could she win maybe that way?
Maybe so. Yeah. I don't know how you, like, you'd have to go in like a cave or just a darkened hall or something.
Or her room when she blew the light out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is
she just hiding in a hole?
Is she not running? I need to watch it again, but it seemed like it was... like underneath, it's like she's staying in Harry Potter's cupboard or something, only it's all black brick.
Okay, I think she's definitely still in Braavos, but I don't think she escaped Braavos yet, but that should be her next move.
Yes.
Get the hell out of Braavos.
But I imagine it's hard to get out with the Faceless Men coming after you, and you know, we found that last episode, they founded the town, and how much their connections, how deep do those go? I know, pretty interesting, and I'm scared for her, except for I just feel like that she's the one person that can't die, but I would have sworn up and down, that's the thing, like, you know, season one, like, I would have sworn up and down that there's no way Ned dies, and then,
right.
So, yeah, I guess she could, that would be shocking, but there's got to be still one or two kind of surprise deaths left for us, though.
Oh, yeah.
That we didn't see coming. I mean, Hodor is one thing, but, like, you know, a Ned or a Rob level Jamie could die. Yeah. Sure, sure. Like Cersei, I expect, you know. Uh-huh. But like, there's going to be something like with the Tyrion or Arya. Someone of that caliber probably dies before this thing's all said and done, and it will be for real shocking.
Yeah.
The person
who got it worst in this episode was probably Tyrion. Because that play, man, they are just savage.
Really one sided. Just really one sided.
Completely biased. But pretty funny.
Yeah. I still enjoy the stagecraft and the fact that they're doing these kind of rhyming couplets and
the farts.
The farts.
The death farts are pretty good.
The farts. Do you think that was... I wonder now, the conspicuous maester farting, because that was so out of character, but I wonder if they were just got the giggles in the writing room about some meta commentary about how things haven't really changed. It's all about the farting and the dick jokes and...
Could it be foreshadowing his own death? Is that where we're going?
I don't know. Although when fake Tywin was dying, I was really expecting some gold nuggets to come out. Weren't you? Like when he kind of lifted his leg, I thought like you're going to see like three painted rocks come flying
nice.
Out.
Should have done it.
I mean, like, it's not like they're too highbrow for it.
No.
They got just naked fart jokes running around in the show.
Right.
I feel like there's something else we've forgotten to talk about.
Maybe, but that's the nature of the instant cast.
Yeah.
Do with that what you will. But I don't know. Unless you can think of it now, I think I'm good.
But it's interesting because this was more of a... Even though a lot kind of happened,
yeah,
there was This was more of a set piece, or taking the set pieces and moving them into position where they need to be for the next thing.
Right. We didn't talk
much. Everyone was in transit. Arya's in the wind. Jaime's in transit. Braunmatch, speaking of, we finally got mentioned. Slipping him the biggest bag of gold he's ever seen. I would like to see that in an alternate universe.
I would too. I wish Jaime would do that. I was as angry as Jamie.
Can we get a bonus feature of on the season 6 DVDs where Bronn goes in and just cleans house? Like it's filmed kind of like, what's that movie about the two Irish hitmen that has Norman Reedus in it? God damn it!
Boondock Saints. Yeah,
it's like Boondock Saints and Westeros. All right. where he comes
out of the vents.
Yeah, him and the other sell swords. Yeah, and they just clean house. This wreck shop.
Right.
And it's just like a whole hour of sparrows getting taken.
Just like 300.
Brutally. Yeah.
Just gratuitous killing over and over.
Yeah.
I would love that so much.
Just make the great Sept of Baelor look like a fucking slaughterhouse. I would totally pay upwards of $100 to get that special edition DVD Blu-ray set.
Yeah. Me too.
And don't forget the digital download. Gotta have the digital download. That's why it's worth however much it's worth. Okay, so here's the game plan. We come back Tuesday with the full coverage cast. So if we missed anything, we'll certainly get that cleaned up. We'll have lots of feedback, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Friday we come out to spoiler cast, where we can talk about the implications of the new characters and the binge ins and
we
all that kind of stuff.
Talk a ton about Walter Frey having what's his
Walter
face?
Frey?
Walter, whatever his name, Waldo Frey.
What am I to do, Walter? What am I to do? It was the Blackfish. The Blackfish. She took his castle. It was his castle, was it not? What would you have me do, Walter?
But she's got Catelyn's brother, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't remember this guy.
So he was the one that was the makeup wedding. Like, you're not going to get the King of the North, but you're going to get the Lord of the Riverrun, or the future Lord of Riverrun, and he is going to, marry your daughter, and as they were whisking him off the bed, then they started playing the Reigns of Castamere, and everybody died.
Right.
So they still have him, and they're going to apparently extort...
Use him as a reminder.
Now, what do you remember of the Blackfish and his relationship?
Nothing.
This is the guy who couldn't get a lit arrow into his father's boat to give him the Viking funeral to save his life.
It is.
He's the same. He's
took
the same.
Three shots.
He's also the same guy that rolled in and like, I took this one place. Aren't you so? And Rob screamed at him because he essentially lost a major battle because he won a relatively minor one.
So you don't think he's going to give a shit about
this wonder
guy.
If he's going to be like, you know what? The world would be better off. I got my castle and I ain't leaving it.
All right. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, because that's not exactly. I mean, I'm sure he loves his nephew after a fashion, or his great nephew, but damn.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll definitely talk more about this on Tuesday for sure.
Yeah,
but thanks.
And also, one more before we leave. Did you take it? One thing that the three-eyed Raven said last episode is that Bran has to learn everything. Mm-hmm. And boy, howdy, was he getting a lot of rapid fire, like Neo in the Matrix style, learning Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Do you think that he, in this extended kind of warg state, that he did in fact learn everything, and now he just has to figure out what it means?
Yeah, I don't think he would have popped out of the warg state without having learned everything. So yes, I think so.
I mean, that's like a weird thing, like... what is that experience like if you just have just knowledge that just explodes in your head? Does that mean you have it instantly at your recall, or do you have to like kind of sift through it and let it bake in there? I thought it was interesting because, man, it went everywhere. It went back to the Tower of Joy. You had the Mad King yell and burn them all. You had a whole bunch of stuff in this vision that I need to watch a couple more times before I even can describe it.
Saw Ned's head come off.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if that wasn't him getting all knowledge.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk more about it on Tuesday, and we'll be back then. And good night.
All right. See you.
Bye.